not for this.
Okay, here we go. So the Mishnah on Tesavav Amar Aleph says, Hamikare Sukase Bishpudin Ruchs Amita. If someone Mikare, wow, what is that word? It comes from the word like roof, you know, like Mikra, Mikre, I don't know. It comes from the word he Tikra, right? That was the word in the previous Mishnah. The first word on the page is Tikra, a roof. Shaina Lemaziva doesn't have any of the plaster or tar or whatever on top. So this Mishnah begins Hamikare, so that's like the verb of Tikra. So one who makes a roof for his sukkah, b'shpudin baruch hasamita, with spits, which is what you cook animals on, you know, or with legs of the beds. If there is equal space between each spit or each leg of the bed or whatever, kamosan, that's equal to this to the schach puzzle, kshera, then it's kasher, right? It's not kasher just like that. It means that you fill it in with good schach, right? So if you utilize some type of schach that's no good, the example here is two things. Spits. Push it forward a little bit. Like what you roast animals on, yeah? Over the fire. It's called a spit. What? S-P-I-T? How do you say it? Is there another way to say it? The thing you roast animals on, you know that you... Is there another word for it? So, what's interesting... Okay, so let's step by step. So the Mishnah says that if you use shpudin, shpud is a spit, baruch hasamita, means the legs, or the pieces, the long parts of the bed. Apparently it's no good. That's clear for the Mishnah, it's no good. If there's space between them, equal to them, then it's kasher, provided that you fill those spaces in with schach, that's good. Right? We're not talking about empty airspace. That's not the point. The point is that these things are no good. Okay, so why are they no good? So Rashi writes, just like we do. We make beams that go across our sukkahs, and then we put the schach on top of them. So Rashi says, if you go ahead and you're using something that's no good for schach as your support, your beams for your schach, you just have to make sure that you have, according to the Mishnah, equal space between them that you fill in with schach kasher. What's wrong with these items, the spits and the bed parts? So Rashi writes, "B'gemar mefarish the mekabli tuma." That's the mekabli tuma. Now, some point out that the spit was interesting because I thought it was made out of metal. So if it's made out of metal, you have a more fundamental problem, is that it doesn't grow from the ground. So maybe Rashi's assuming we're talking about wooden spits. I don't know. I don't know how that works exactly with them. But you know this, when it came to Korban Pesach, they had to use wooden spits. You know this? Because the metal spits, they conduct heat, so they become very hot. And because the Korban Pesach had to be roasted on an open fire, you couldn't have any of the Korban Pesach cooked because of the heat of the spit. So they used pomegranate wood for the spits for the Korban Pesach because it doesn't have a lot of sap or any sap in it or something like that. And so it didn't like heat up and it didn't cook the Korban Pesach. So interesting trivia to know. So the Mishnah implies that if you have exactly 50-50 of schach kasher and schach pasul, then you're good to go. And we'll see that that's going to be problematic. But that's the simple understanding of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah has a completely different issue, seemingly. If a person digs out a haystack, in order to make himself a sukkah, ain't a sukkah, it's not a sukkah. Not a sukkah. Interesting, lashon. Not that it's puzzle, but it's not a sukkah. So that's a case where a person has a haystack, and he just digs it out. And he digs it out in enough space that it's 7 by 7 by 10. It's got schach on top. Who cares what you make the walls out of? Sounds like it should be a kasher sukkah. And where it says it's no good, I think we discussed in the past that that's a problem. Tasa evelomino asui, because you have to put the schach on a sukkah or on a space, an empty space where you sit. And here, the empty space where you sit ended up there, and the schach never got put on it. So by digging it out, you end up with schach that never got put on an empty space. In which case, the schach became schach, but was never put there as schach, in which case it's tasev elomino osui, it's problematic because it wasn't put on correctly. So says the Gemara, lemet yav tiyuta derev huna, braider of Yoshua. Let's say that this is a nuclear bomb, kasha, and Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yoshua. Why? The Itmar. Because we have a chazal elsewhere that says, Parutz ke'oimid. Rav Papa Amar Mutter, Rav Huna Breit Rav Yoshua Amar Aser. So the way they read it is, Parutz ke'oimid, colon. If we have a scenario where there's something called Parutz and something called Omid, we'll discuss that in 1 second, but just the punctuation, how to read it is, Parutz ke'oimid, colon. If that's the case, Machlokes between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breit Rav Yoshua. Rav Papa says, Mutter, you're allowed. Rav Huna Breit Rav Yoshua says you're not allowed. So what are we talking about? So Parutz ke'oimid, this is a halacha in walls. When do you need walls? Well, so for our purposes, Shabbos. You want to be able to carry. You want to be able to have a Rosh Hashayachid. You can carry in it. So in order to have a Rosh Hashayachid, you have to have walls. So let's imagine you have a scenario where you have a fence. Anybody recently been on the GWB? So I don't know what they're doing on the GWB. It looks like they're making webs for Halloween. But they have all of these fencing that they're putting up. People apparently like to jump off. I don't know what is going on. I don't know what is going on. If this is temporary or permanent, but it looks terrible. But okay. Let's say you're making some kind of fencing where you put like a board up, you know, a piece of fence. And then there's a space, there's a gap, and another piece, and a gap, and another piece, and a gap, and another piece. So in that wall, in that fence that you're making, you're going to have a lot of empty space, and you're going to have a lot of fence. So parutz means breached, like a prutza, right? You're talking about a prutza, she's breaching the correct standards of tznius. Parutz means it's breached. Omeid, literally. What's omeid? Standing, meaning the filled-in space, the standing part of the fence. So parutz ke'omeid means exactly the same amount of filled-in space as breached, i.e. empty space. Exactly the same. So that's the case. Parutz ke'omeid, you have a wall, but it's the same exact amount of standing wall as there is of breached wall of empty space. So what's the halacha? So Rav Papa says, Mutter, you're allowed to carry there. It's still considered to be a Rosh Hashayachid because 50-50 is fine. Rav Huna Rav Yoshua Amar Aser. He says, no, it's prohibited to carry there because you don't have enough wall. You have to have 50.1, whatever, 51% of wall. 50-50 is not good enough. So that's the machlokas. So what's the problem with that? Problem is that our Gemara, our Mishnah, seems to imply that if you want to have a roof, which it's interesting, the Gemara seems to be comparing it now to a wall or something like that. It's one of the mechitzos of the sukkah, it seems. So the wall has to be what? Well, we just said, if you have 50-50, enough space, kimoisan, what's the lashon of Mishnah? If there's enough space between them, kim my son, just like them. And then, of course, we add it and you fill it in with schach kasher. So your sukkah is good. All of them are going to be stolen. But the picture in your mind is that there's exactly the same amount of space that's filled in and open. See if any of these work. This has a, you know, a bird's eye view of your sukkah. So, I don't know, we'll have to balance it out. But if it's exactly equal, imagine that's exactly equal, which it can't be, so we'll have to draw another one. There we go. So there's three empty, three spots that are filled in and three spots that are empty. So Kim, my son, sounds like it means exactly like them. So 50-50, it sounds like you're good to go, which would be a problem, not for Rav Papa, but for Rav Huna Breit Rav Yoshua. That's the kash of the Gemara. So why don't you say this is a knockout punch for Rav Huna's opinion? Because obviously he's wrong. So what is the answer? Rav Huna Breit Rav Yoshua. Rav Huna Breit Rav Yoshua says to you, meaning he would answer, he would say to you, my kimaisan. What does it mean whenever you find this principle of kimaisan? What does kimaisan mean? B'nichnas v'yoytze. When it could go in and it could come out. What do you mean? That whenever we say there's enough space there, it means there's enough space to be able to put one of those boards in and get it out. Well, in order to put it in and get it out, you need a little bit of wiggle room in order to get it in. You guys ever have those tables where you expand the table by putting in a new leaf? So you ever try pulling it out just enough room to get in the leaf? You can't get it in. You need like a little bit of extra room to like get it in at an angle and like, you know, and balance it down so that it should be flush with the table. If it's, you know, if it's just enough room to get it in, it's like impossible. Nichnas b'yotze means there's enough room to pull that table apart a little bit more than the length of the leaf. And then you can get the leaf in and get it out. So b'nichnas b'yotze means when we say k'moisan, it doesn't mean exactly k'moisan. It means k'moisan in the sense that you should be able to get that piece in and out. So if we're talking about our shpudin and our mishnah, so there's enough space to get another one or another set of them in and out practically. So the Gemara answers, like in the Shulchan Vatari, the next couple of lines is a little bit difficult to understand, but the Gemara says, v'ha'ev shel etzamtzem. Well, this is a theoretical construct. It's possible to be exact. Who says we're talking about an actual case where a person has to be able to get it in and out? I mean, it's just saying, as long as it's 50-50, you're fine. Will it ever really be 50-50? In reality? Okay, maybe not. But the point is that that is valid. So the Mishnah doesn't mean it's 51% of schach kasher. It's actually saying it's exactly 50-50. How do you know? Where are you coming from to say that it means enough to be able to get it in and out? So my answer is, Amar Rabbi Ami b'ma'adif. So what's he answering? So Rashi writes, Mas Nisan le'achshar b'mitzamtzim. No, the Mishnah is not talking about a theoretical construct where it's exactly 50-50. There's a little bit of space in between. Rav HaShpudin, on the length of the Shpudin. U'kamoysan, dekatani b'nechnas v'yoytzei. And so the Kamoysan really means when you can get it in and out. So it's a little bit hard to understand the Shulchan Vatari here, but the bottom line is that the Gemara is saying that while on the one hand you could imagine that the Mishnah is saying it's a theoretical idea that you can get it in and out, it's 50-50. Practically getting it in and out? No. The Gemara answers, no, lav dafka, not necessarily. You can't prove from here, certainly. And maybe Gemara is saying more than that, that it's not the case. And it's not where it's exactly 50-50. It means that legitimately there's a little extra room to be able to get it in and out. That's one possible answer. In other words, then therefore it's not a kasha or funa, but Rishua, because anytime that you find this type of presentation, kimaisan means where you can get the piece in and out, so there's a little bit of extra space. So it's not exactly 50-50, it's actually 51%. The other answer is, Rabba Amar, filu tema b'she'in ma'adif. You can even say we're talking about a case where it may be, it is 50-50 exactly. Okay, so imagine a scenario, sort of like we did on the board, that if you're looking at the space on the sukkah, it's exactly 50-50 space and schach pasul. Okay, so then how do you fix this problem? So the answer is, says Rabba, im hayu nisunim shesi noisnin erev, erev noisnin shesi. If they were placed, what's called shesi, which we'll describe in a second, then you put your schach kasher erev. If the schach pasul is erev, nice and shasi, you put your schach kasher the opposite. What does it mean? So shasi and erev means crisscrossed. Shasi and erev comes up in like weaving. So whenever you want to weave a baggage, there's a way to do it, you know, where it's crisscrossed. So it basically means perpendicular. So shasi and erev, one is going one direction, and one is going the opposite direction, perpendicular to it. So originally we assume that when we're filling in our sukkah with the schach kasher, it's going in the same direction. Same direction. Now we're talking completely differently. Now what we're saying is, trying to make it a little bit three-dimensional here. If you have your shpudin going towards the front of the sukkah here, so then there's going to be space in between them. But picture that they're long spits going from the back of the sukkah to the front of the sukkah. So what we do is, we're going to take our schach kasher, and we're going to put it going the other way,
this way. So that it's balanced on top of the shkudin, going the other way. So if this is Shesi, then this is Erev. If this is Erev, this doesn't make a difference which direction. What do you accomplish? So when you do this, and they're overlapping all of the Schach Pasel, so then you're actually overlapping. The Schach Kasher is covering some of the Schach Pasel on both sides, because it's balanced on top of it. So now, of course, you have more Schach Kasher than Schach Pasel. Even though if you're looking at the airspace without the Schach Kasher on, it's going to be exactly 50-50. But once you put the Schach Kasher on, you're not filling in the airspace. You're putting it the opposite direction, balanced on top of the Schach Pasel. So you're taking away a little bit of Schach Pasel on each side that the piece is balanced on. Does that make sense? I'll draw it like this. Imagine you have a shpudir, a shpudir, a shpudir, a shpudir. And then there's exactly an amount of space. Okay, so now we're looking at it from the front. Right? This is our sukkah, right? I apologize for my bad job of perspective. So this is the back wall of the sukkah. So these are the shpudim that are on top of the sukkah. So you have exactly enough of space, you know, in between. It'll have to keep going. So in order to account for that empty space, which is even, the Schach Kasher is going to go on top of that. So now, of course, there's more Schach Kasher than Schach Pasel, because you're not just filling in the empty space. You're actually overlapping with the Schach Pasel. There's for sure more Schach Kasher now than Schach Pasel, because you're putting it in the other direction. You're not just filling in the airspace, you're actually canceling out some of the Schach Pasel. That's how Rav answers. Okay, bottom line is, we have maintained the machlokas that you find when it comes to Parutz Ka'omed. If it's exactly 50-50, Rav Papa may say it's mutter to carry there, but still, Rav Huna Brei Roshua says you're not allowed to carry there because you need 51% wall, 50% is not enough. Do you remember where we spoke of this in terms of Eruvin? We discussed this at some point. When you have Manhattan, can you have an Eruvin Manhattan? Right? Huge controversy, yeah? Flatbush became a controversy as well, but it started all with Manhattan. What's the issue? So the issue is, can you make an Eruvin Manhattan? You know, some say, well, Manhattan's an island, you know, it's the problem, right? It's an island, though. So is in North America. But in any case, so, I don't know, it's a continent. So, Australia, who needs an Eruv in Australia?
I'm talking about Eruv, I'm talking about cities.
Well, you can have hills, and you can have, you know, that can count as like your walls around your city, you know?
Right, but an island's different. It was by water. That's what defines
an island. Yeah, so North America. Anyway, so, The issue became, Rav Moshe held that, well, let's just say ABCs first, right? There's no such thing as making an Eruv in a Rosh Hashanah Harabim De'oraisa. Did you know that? What the Rosh Hashanah Harabim De'oraisa? If you have, there are different opinions in Rishonim, what makes something considered a Rosh Hashanah Harabim De'oraisa? Everyone's familiar with what? 600,000 people. If there are 600,000 people in the streets, so then that's called a Rosh Hashanah Harabim. So let's say you have a major highway, and there are going to be 600,000 people going through this highway, so you can't have an Eruv cross over that highway. Okay? It's just a Rabbim
Daraisa. Well, you can say about Manhattan, because 600,000 people walk on the
highway. That's right. So that's what Rav Moshe said. Rav Moshe said, if you take a ratio of how many people are living in these massive apartment buildings, we're not talking about houses like in Teaneck, we're talking about massive apartment buildings. So in all those apartment buildings, just a ratio, a simple ratio, tells you how many people are going to be on the street at any given time. It's going to be 600,000 people wandering through the streets of Manhattan. So Rav Moshe held that Manhattan is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim De'oraisa, and an Eruv is ineffective. It doesn't do any good. You could build walls around Manhattan if you'd like, but Trump's not up to that yet. So what are you going to do? So, okay, so you're stuck. If you have a place like Teaneck, a place like Muncie, where you don't have such a ratio, so that in and of itself is already defined as not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim De'oraisa. So D'oraisa you'd be allowed to carry anywhere, any of these places. Carry on the streets of Teaneck, D'oraisa, right on Shabbos? Well, but it's Aser D'Rabbanan. Because to carry in a place that's a regular street, that's an open area,
It's too easily confused with the Rishus HaRabim. So the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to carry there.
But
the Rabbanon said, we don't want to kill Shabbos for everybody. You want to be able to carry your talis. You want to be able to carry your svarim. You want to be able to carry your children. You want to be able to carry food. You want to be able to have Shabbos be an enjoyable time for everybody. You want it to be miserable. You're stuck in your house with your children. Anyway, so what are we going to do? We'll tell you the whole problem here is that you're going to confuse the streets with the Rishus HaRabim. So as long as you do specific things to make it clear that this is not a Rishus HaRabim, that you understand that this is a Rishus DeRabbanan, so then we'll allow you to carry. So what do you have to do? So one of the options, depending on the scenario, is you make what's called an Eruv. Eruv means you make virtual walls. You make doorways all around the city. So you have a pole, and a pole, and a pole on top. Yeah? You can't use a regular phone pole for this. You know this, right? A regular telephone pole, most of the time, is not good enough. We hold that in order to have this Eruv, so you have to have two poles. This is a doorway. We're making a doorway. A lot of times, the telephone poles and the electric wires or whatever will have these poles, but the wires or whatever come out from the sides. No door ever has the side. It comes what's on the top. But it comes the lintel, what's on the top? Whatever one's called on the mashka, whatever the one that's called on the top is, that's what the door hits when it closes, right? We have these fancy doors where it hits something on all the sides. But really, you just need one on top, you know? So it hits that. So when it hits that, that's called, that's the mashka. That's the one that's on top. So if you ever pass by the Eruv in your city, so you'll notice one of two things. Either what they did is they put up their own strings, ropes, whatever, and they put something on the top of the phone poles. And on the top of the poles, you have this Eruv string that goes like that. Or more common nowadays is that they use the existing one that's on the side by putting what's called a lechi at the bottom. So sometimes nowadays they use a lot of PVC pipes, whatever it is, they use something and they measure with lasers or however they're doing it to make sure that it's exactly underneath this. So as long as it goes up 10 tefachim high, that's a virtual wall. And we can imagine it goes all the way up to the wire that's on top. So we have to get the wire on top in one of these two ways. Either we make our own, or we make a lechi where it is matched up exactly underneath it, so that wire is on top of the addition, the pole that we made, that we put on the side. So that you can do when you don't have a Rishus HaRabim de'oraisa, since you're allowed to carry here mid de'oraisa anyway. But Midrabbanan, they said you're not allowed because we're afraid people are going to think you can carry in a Rishus HaRabim. So you have to do something about it. What do we require you to do about it? You have to make an Eruv. There are two components to the Eruv. This is only one component. The more fundamental component to the Eruv is what an Eruv really is, which is that we take a box of matzahs, we take a su'uda, and we say, this is for everybody in town, whoever needs, whoever's hungry, come and eat our matzah. You know, this is called Dich Ben Yesev Yechel, yeah? Now, whoever wants, this is a meal for the whole town. And that makes us all one big happy family. So we are joining together. Eruv means a mixture. We're joining together all the properties in our town into one big happy property. And this is our su'udah that anybody can have if you want. And they put it in a certain shul or whatever. And then, you know, if you ask somebody about it, somebody ought to know where that box of matzahs is. Matzah lasts longer than a challah. So it's good to use matzah. And that's the Eruv. That's the Eruv. So Rav Moshe said, in Manhattan, nothing doing, because it's a Rishus HaRabim Teresa. You'll notice that in YU, there's an Eruv. YU's in Manhattan. How does this work? So Rav Shachter holds that if you take a look at the Chazon Ish uses with the principle we just discussed. We just discussed the concept of Paritz and Oymed. Oymed and Paritz. Everyone agrees if the Oymed is Meruba ala Paritz, if you have more wall than empty space, then it's mutter, then you're allowed to carry it. At least a raisa, right? You've made a wall. So wait a minute. Picture this. Any street you go onto in Manhattan, isn't it true there's more building than empty space? And if there isn't, buy the empty space, you'll get rich. There's no empty space left! It's either a parking lot every once in a while, but there's no such thing as empty space in Manhattan. You know what I'm talking about?
every space between buildings. Oh, there are 3 feet. Build a building. Someone will use it for their dogs. Like, you know, there's buildings everywhere to something.
So because of that, Rav Shechter argues every single block is walled in. Daraisa, for sure. In which case, it does have walls. Well, if it's walled in, then you can go ahead and make an eruv. And that's the svara that allows, because then it becomes a Rosh Hashanah Daraisa, because it actually has walls. And that's the svara that allows for an eruv in a city. And that's what, if you use the eruv in Washington Heights, and that's what you're, that may be what you're relying on. Yeah, good? Okay. But that is the concept that this Gemara is pointing out to us. This is halacha and walls. So then the Gemara goes on. It says, "Over ruchas amita," or if you used for schach not the spits, but you used legs or posts from the or lengths of the bed. Let's say that this idea that the bedposts are makabel tuma, right? That's why you can't use them, right? The parts from the bed. Is it a bed? Are we suggesting you put a bed on top of your sukkah?
No.
No. What are ruchas amita? Parts. Parts of the bed. But it's taken apart, right? It's not a whole bed anymore. Right? That's the important part of this discussion. It's parts of the bed that are no longer a functional bed. And you're still not allowed to use them for schach because apparently, what's the problem with them? They're wood. What's the problem? They're what? Come on, somebody. They're makabel tuma. Why are they susceptible to tuma?
Because
they're from a bed, right? They're a kli. They're not just a piece of wood. They were made into an actual bed. But they're no longer a functional bed, right? But apparently it's still makabel tuma. That's interesting. So the Gemara says, oh, let's say that this supports a controversial Psak from Rabbi Ami Bar Tivyoimi. Dumb Rabbi Ami Bar Tivyoimi, because he said, Sichcha bibalei kelim psula. If you went ahead, you have your cotton clothes, linen clothes, natural ingredients, you know? Things that came from the ground. So you take those types of garments, and now they're worn out. Nobody wears them anymore. They're falling apart. They got holes in them. They're pieces. They're tatters. And you want to use those tattered pieces of natural clothing for schach. Grows from the ground, right? He said, Rami Bar Tivyami, if you're masachik with worn out parts of clothing, natural clothing, psula, it's pasul. So what just happened over here? Why is what he said controversial? Well, we know you're not allowed to be misachik with things that are makabel tuma. Are clothes makabel tuma? Yeah. So, what? Of course, you're not allowed to use it. What's the problem? Worn out pieces of clothing. So, what does it mean, worn out pieces of clothing? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is the second to last of the skinny lines. Bivalei kelim, worn out clothes. Lekaman, later on, mifarish, the Gemara will explain, mimatlonios, with, I don't know how to say this regularly, but patches. Patches of clothing. She'ein behen shalosh al shalosh. And they're not even 3 fingers by 3 fingers. That's what we're talking about. So we're talking about shreds of clothing, pieces of clothing, that are less than 3 by 3 fingers. So you can't even use it as a patch on a piece of clothing. It's a piece of garbage. So since you wouldn't even use it as a patch to patch up a hole, so it's not clothing anymore. Says Rabbi Ami Bar Tivyoimi, nope! You use that for schach, it is pasul. Why? Because it came from clothing. That was makabel tuma. If you went ahead and you made a little patch that's less than 3 by 3, and that's how you made it, so that's not a piece of clothing. But if it originally was a piece of clothing, and it got worn out, balei kelim, it became worn out, and now you're left with a little tiny piece, he claims you still can't use it because originally it was clothing. Well, isn't that exactly what we're saying in our Mishnah? You're not allowed to use the parts of the bed, even though now it's no longer part of the bed. It's broken, and who knows? You know, it's not usable anymore. It's part of a bed. Since it originally was part of the bed, it's makabel. It was makabel tuma, and you're still not allowed to use it. Perhaps it's all dirabbanan because it came from a kli, But now you're still not allowed to use it anymore. So wow, apparently Rabbi Bar Tivami was a controversial psak. And the Gemara is saying, what do you mean? What's the big controversy? That's exactly what's going on in our Mishnah. So what is the Gemara answer? Kid Amar Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe. No, we'll get out of it because of what Rav Chanan said in the name of Rebbe. Barucha v'shtei krayim. V'ktzara v'shtei krayim. That when we talk about Kalim, what we mean is it's Arucha is the long part of the bed, right? So you know how
if you have bedposts, you can have bedposts in two ways. You can have the long part, and then like, you know, the leg, you know, has to have a ball on top, right? But the thing is, that's one side of the bed. There's going to be another one that's on the other side. But the short end of the bed also has a post. Like that, right? It's the same post, right? It's going to utilize the same post. But there's the short end. So what are we talking about? We're talking about
short boards.
Right. So it's going to be like a long one and a short one. And then they're going to have, you know, posts. Like that. You think Pictionary? So either you're taking a long one or the short one. But if you take a long one or a short one, it theoretically could still be usable because you can still use it to, like, you know, you can lean it up against the wall. You can do certain things with it that if you balance it right, you might even be able to sleep on it. If you balance it right. So it means we didn't take a... Bottom line, if you would take just the leg of the bed, so you're right. That's not what we're talking about in the Mishnah. We're talking about an actual piece that still is usable if you use it in a certain way. So when it says, Heicha Itmar, where do we say this halacha? Wait, did I say it? Oh, so the Gemara answers, Hachinami. Hachinami, here too, in our Mishnah about Sukkah, Baruch Bashei Karayim, we're talking about where there's a long one and then two legs, and therefore it still has, you can still lean it up against something, you can just still do something with it. So let's finish up. Heicha Itmar, where did we say this? Rabbi Chanan, Amar Rebbe, where did they say such a comment? Ahad Yisnan, and this that we learned in the Mishnah, Mita, Mitame Eis, Chavila, Mitaheres, Chavila, dear Rabbi Eliezer. So Rashi writes Chavila means biyachad, together. Metaheres Chavila, im temeyahi, ein tevila oilala, evarim evarim, ella saknum matvila. So the what they were making this comment on is when you have a bed that is mitameis, meaning it's makabel, susceptible to tumah, when it's attached. And if it became tamei, what do you do about it? So here's the question. The case is like this. A mita that did become tame, if it's mitame's chavila, it becomes tame when it's a bed. And the only way to be mitaher it is when it's a bed. So if it became tame as a bed, and then it was taken into pieces, so then apparently you can't be mitaher it. You'd have to actually put it back together and then find a nice big mikveh to put it back into to be mitaher. You know, when we think about like a kli cheres, so everybody knows a kli cheres, the way to be mitaher it is to smash it. So if you have something that's made out of earthenware, so the way you're mitaher it is by smashing it. So this is not the case when it comes to a wooden bed. A wooden bed that became tameh, so then according to Rabbi Eliezer, so the only way, if it became tameh and now it became detached, the parts were separated from one another, you're stuck. You'd actually have to put it back together in order to be mitaher. Metames evarim. Metares evarim. It's even if it became tame when the parts are detached from one another,
That's fine. It'll become tame that way. It's still considered to be a kli. And you can still be mitahar it, even in parts as well. So, what are we talking about? What's exactly the case that they're arguing about? Seriously, the Chachamim are going to say if you take a piece of a bed, like a leg, and you detach it from the whole thing, and it's still considered a kli, this makabel tuma, what is it? It's a piece of garbage. It's not a kli. You can't do anything with it. What are you going to do with a bed post? One leg of a bed. What are you going to do with it? So the Gemara says, mind you, what is exactly the case over here? Amar Michanan, Amar Rebbe, Amar Rebbe. This is the statement that we had a minute ago. So Chanan said, Amar Rebbe, the case is, Aruch v'shei krayim. A long part of the bed and two legs. Ketzar v'shei krayim. A short part of the bed and two legs. Oh, that answers the question, because then it's not a part, it's a bed, but it's not a bed. What are you going to do with it? L'may chazia, for what is it fitting? L'masmechinu aguda, to lean it up against, I don't know, I guess aguda means a wall, like gud asik, gud achis. You have that idea that a wall can go up, one can go down. So guda means a wall. So you can lean it up against the wall, lamesa v'layu, and sit on it. Umashda ashle. And weave it with ropes and stick it up with, what do you call it? And make ropes going from one piece of wood to the next. That gives you a little bit of something to sit on. So they have a picture over here that makes it understandable. You see how in the back you have these two, these are posts of the bed. Can you see it? You have bedposts, and in the back, you just lean it up against the wall, and if you just do some crisscrossing with some wood, then you can even sit on it. Now, they're going to have to be pretty heavy, and it's going to have to be at the right angle, and you know, but okay, if you do it right, so then you can even make a little bit of a couch out of the end of the bed, as long as you have something else to lean it up against the wall. So, the picture is
you have your posts here, and you have that, the length of the bed here. And then you got something that has to be leaning back a little bit that can go into the wall and lean up against the wall. So then you can push it up against the wall. Now what are you going to do with it? Well, you can keep your kidney so you don't get the rest of the room. But if you go ahead and you use ropes, a little crisscross over here, see, so you made yourself a couch.
So that's the Gemara's answer. That in a Hanami, this is not a proof for Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami was claiming, this was his controversial pshat, that if you start off with an object that is makabel tuma and is tame even, so then whatever is left of it will always be tame, even if it no longer has the definition of the kli anymore. So his example was clothing. Because you have clothing, clothing is makabel tuma. You have a little tiny piece that's left over. He says it's still makabel tuma. And not everyone agreed about that. Because now that it's not a kli anymore, it's not a piece of clothing anymore, it's smaller than 3 fingers by 3 fingers, it's not even big enough for a patch anymore. So then everyone else apparently held that loses its status of being clothing, so you could even use it for schach. The Gemara wanted to say, oh, well, obviously he's right, because that's what our mission is talking about. It's talking about legs from a bed. Well, legs from a bed are not functional in any way, shape, or form. It's not a bed anymore. It's like a worn-out piece of clothing that's not usable like a piece of clothing anymore. It's the same thing. The Gemara answers, you would have been right, but you have to say, based on where actually they made this comment, you have to say that we're talking about a usable parts of a bed. So when our mission is said, you're being masache with the legs of beds, it actually meant a whole corner of the bed, not just one leg. Because one leg sounds like the Gemara is concluding would not be makabel tuma. Has to.
The boards that run underneath the bed to hold it up. Because usually a bed is not, there's the frame, but then there's boards that run underneath.
The bottom line is any time that you have a part of that bed that you could still use in some way with its original function, you don't have to sleep on it, you can sit on it, you know, something like that, with its original function intact. If you could still somehow use it for that original function, then it still has the status of a bed. But once it's a little piece, it's just a leg, what are you going to do with it? You can't do anything with it. So that sounds like the Gemara is concluding it would not be makabel tuma anymore, and then you would be able to use it for schach. Unless there's some sort of gzeir midrabanan that, you know, you still can't anymore, or something like that. But that's what the Gemara says at this point, is that the Gemara is saying that what's on our schach is actually not just a bedpost. It's actually a whole part of a bed that's still usable if you lean it up against the wall or something like that. Gufa. Okay, so back to our regular scheduled programming. Back to the body of the matter. Amar Riami Bar Tivyomi. Riami Bar Tivyomi said, if you're masachech with beloy kloim, kalim, with worn out patches of clothing less than 3x3 fingers, psula, it's no good. My beloy kalim, what exactly does it mean, worn out clothing? Amar Abaye Madlani Yash and Menshal Shalash. But I said it means a worn out piece of, a leftover piece of that clothing that's not even 3x3 fingers. It doesn't say fingers. It's shal shal. I'm adding the word fingers. That's what it means. It doesn't mean tfachim or amos. It means fingers. The lo chazyon, because they're not fitting, lo la'aniyim, not for poor people, for lo la'ashirim, and not for rich people. Certainly not for rich people. So the bottom line of that is that in terms of hilchos tumah v'tahara, if you would have a piece of clothing that's 3x3 fingers, it's technically considered a piece of clothing. Why? Because at least a poor person would use it to patch up his clothes. So that's still considered to be a piece of clothing. So this that we're talking about is not even that big. Tanya Kavasi de Rabbi Ami Bar Tivyoimi. We have a brisa that supports him. What's the brisa that supports him? That originally it was part of a piece of clothing. Now it's just worn out and too small. It's still considered makabel tuma, still considered a piece of clothing. Who says? Machatzeles shel shifa v'shel gemi. You have a mat that's made out of gemi or reeds, and shifa is, I don't know, some kind of grasses or something like that. Some kind of reeds or grasses or whatever. But bottom line is, it's a mat. It's a mat. Afal pish and ifchasu mikshura, even though it may have fallen apart, and it's not the same size that it was originally, ain mesachachin, but you're not allowed to use it for schach. Vachasela sakanim gidoila, if it was a mat made out of large, long reeds, mesachachin bo, you're allowed to use it for schach. Kitana ain mesachachin bo, a smaller one, you're not allowed to use for schach. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, afhi mekabeles tuma, vein mesachachin bo, even that is mekabel tuma, and you're not allowed to use it for schach. What just happened over here? So Gemara says, Tanya Kovasi Rabbi Ami. We have a brice that seems to support Rabbi Ami. Why? It says, if you have these mats, even though they're less than original, you're still not allowed to use them. So what's going on over here? So this brice has two parts to it. It says, if you have these mats that were used for sitting, that's the whole point. The first part of this brice is you have these mats that are made out of shipa or gemi, people use them to sit on. And therefore the makabel tuma. Why? Because things that you sit on are makabel tuma. Especially if you're talking about like tuma zava, nida. So they're makabel everything, they're matame everything they sit on. So mats that are used for sitting are kalim, they're makabel tuma. You're not allowed to use them for schach, even though they're made totally out of wood. The mats that we have today are made for schach. If you find a mat that's made for yoga, so you're not allowed to use it for schach. It's makabel tumah. But if a mat is huge, that's what this mishbraisa is saying. It's a huge mat. So those mats were used for schach. I mean, they had them even in the times of the Gemara, in the times of Mishnayos, they had these apparently. Yeah.
What about the schach that you bought on the end to be a
gate? Right, so that you don't sit on, so it shouldn't be makabel tumah. But if it's for sitting, that's like, I like the example of like a yoga mat, you know, if you have something like that. So they have like bamboo mats, aren't they? Are they made out of bamboo? Like these yoga mats? No?
No.
Never?
Some
of them have plastic foam. They're all foam. Where do I have one? I have one that I got from some place.
Like bamboo mat?
Yeah, they're a bamboo mat.
It's just a rug.
A rug of some
sort.
A little bigger than that. But that's the case, is that these ones made out of shipa and made out of gemi were used for sitting. So the brisa says, so they're makabel tuma. And even if they're smaller than they originally were, so then they're still makabel tuma. You're still not allowed to use them for schach. Oh, that's what Riami said. Riami said, you have pieces of clothing, worn out pieces. They came from clothing, you're not allowed to use them. So that's why the Gemara says this brisa supports Riami. Because that's the mats. Okay, that's the first case of mats. So again, it says, Tani Kovas Riami, part to join. Machatzeles, mat, shel shipa v'shel gemi, made out of reeds, grasses, whatever exactly they are. Shiareha, the leftovers, afal pish and ifchasu mikshura, even though they're less than the shear that you would sit on anymore. It's too small to sit on anymore. Ein mesachrin ben, you're still not allowed to use them for schach, period. Full stop in the braisa. Okay, that seems like a proof for Rabbi Ami Bar Tiv Yomi. That's the same idea. Then the braisa says, Machatel sakanim gidoilim, if you have mat made out of these really big reeds, mesachrin bo, you're allowed to use it for schach, because they were not used for sitting. Kitana, but if it's a small one used for sitting, ein mesachrin bo, you're not allowed to use it for schach. Rabbi Eliezer says, even the big ones, he says, are makabel tuma, and you're not allowed to use it for schach. Rashi just writes it's a machlokus of what people used it for, but bottom line is, if it's clear that this type of schach is not used for sitting, it's only used for roofing or whatever, so then that would be okay to use for schach. So let's just finish up this last piece. If a person digs out a haystack. Amar Rav Huna said, Leishanu ele she'ein sham chalol tefach. The problem of the haystack, Leishanu, we don't learn it, elo, except. Right? In other words, this halacha only applies that it's digging out a haystack is no good. When there was not there, she'ein sham, there was not there, chalol tefach, and a hollow of a tefach, b'meshech shiva, with the length of 7. In other words, a regular haystack. You dig out a haystack, it's no good. But a crazy case. Imagine a case where there was a hole in the ground, tefach deep, 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim in length and width. So length and width is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, and 1 tefach high. It's a hole in the ground. And this person made a haystack on top of that hole in the ground. Well, when you dig it out, you're really just adding to the hole that's already there. So when you put the haystack on top of the hole, you actually were putting the haystack on a space of an ohel. So since you started with the space of an ohel, you're not considered digging out the haystack. You're just adding to the hollow. In which case, when you put the haystack down, it was legitimately on top of an ohel. So it's not tasev elomino asui. That would not be a problem. Interesting, right? Not so much. Anyway, so lo shon el shein shom chalot tefach b'meshach shiva. But if there was all previously, when you put the hay down, you put it on top of a halal, a hollow, tefach b'meshach shiva, which is a tefach high and 7 by 7 in length and width, hareiz a sukkah. Then when you dig it out, it is a sukkah. That's legit. Tanya nami hachi, we have a brayso that says the same thing. Hachaytek begadish la'asos le'sukkah, hareiz a sukkah. If a person digs out a haystack to make a sukkah, behold, this is a sukkah. What? That's a contradiction with our Mishnah. How can a braisa say if you dig out a haystack, it's valid? Our Mishnah says you dig out a haystack, but ain't a sukkah. It's no good. But didn't we learn? Ain't a sukkah? That it's not a sukkah? That's a Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah. Ain't a sukkah? It's not a sukkah. Elolav, is it not rather, must be, Shema Mina, you hear from here, Kid Rav Huna, Shema Mina, like Rav Huna, Shema Mina, yeah, we hear from here, you're right. In other words, Rav Huna said that the case of our Mishnah is only when there's no tent, there's no ohel space underneath it, 7 by 7 by 1. If it was put on a hole of 7 by 7 by 1, then digging it out is fine. So what we have is, we don't have a proof for Rav Huna. What do we have? We have a contradiction between Mishnah and Braisa. Braisa says, dig out a haystack, good. Mishnah says, dig out a haystack, no good. Well, it's a direct contradiction. So because we have a comment from Rav Huna that says it's only no good if you didn't have a hollow 7 by 7 by 1, but if you put your haystack on top of a hollow 7 by 7 by 1, then it's good. So we understand that that's the explanation of the Braisa that says there's a case of digging out a haystack that's good. That's how we resolve the contradiction. The Gemara just finishes with a different version of the Masorah. Some say there is an afkamina, but Ika, there are those, the Rami Le Mirma, that say that this is all the result of a contradiction. Okay? Rami is a contradiction. Rami Le Mirma means they contradicted a contradiction. They developed a contradiction. Tana, we learn in our Mishnah, Chayitei Begadish, if one digs out a haystack, lasay slay sukkah to make himself a sukkah, ain't a sukkah. It's not a sukkah. V'hotanya, that's how it's a contradiction. But didn't we learn in the Braisa? Harezu sukkah, it is a sukkah. Amar Rav Huna leikasha. Rav Huna said that's not a problem. Kan b'sheyesham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva. One is a case where there is an empty space. One is where there's no empty space under the haystack. So that's just how we mean. There are those that want to say there might be an afkamina, how you present it. But bottom line is that one way to look at it is that there's a brisa, and we're asking a kasha on the brisa. The other way to look at it, the ramila, is that we start with the Mishnah, and we ask a kasha on the Mishnah. What do you mean? How can the Mishnah say that? But there's a brisa that contradicts it. And then Ravuna comes to the rescue. So the way to look at it is, do we look at the brisa as a proof for Ravuna? Or was it originally brought as a kasha on the Mishnah, and then Ravuna ends up just being a resolution? It seems like it's the same thing. It's just a question of how to present it. But like I said, there are those that want to say that there may be a nafkamina. Okay, so we're going to stop with Gemara there for now. We're going to dive in Mincha in about 7 minutes. So let's just take a breather for 1 second. I want to share with you something. Let me turn this off so that it's not too much.